Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Itai Flesher. We have spoken to Itai before. Itai is a Jerusalem correspondent for the Plus 61J Media. He is an Australian based in Jerusalem. And I have absolute great pleasure in chatting to him right now. Shalom, Itai. How are you? And great to have you with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's a difficult day in the country at the moment, but it's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Itai, so yeah, you're on the ground. Give us, in very far away South Africa and in the rest of the world for that matter, a sense of what your reality has been like for the past 24, 48 hours.
Rocket came into Jerusalem actually on Yom Yerushalayim at 6 in the afternoon where I was living. And it came after really a month of tension in Jerusalem around three issues, the first being the Damascus Gate, the second being the neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah, and then the third being the Al-Aqsa Mosque, where a lot of Palestinians felt that there were police brutality and inappropriate behavior in a holy place. And then Hamas sort of, took these three concerns and then used them as a catalyst to firstly attack Jerusalem as a sort of punishment to Israel for what is potentially going to happen in Sheikh Jarrah, but also following the failure of the Palestinian elections to, I think, show itself as the leader of the Palestinian people. And in the last 48 hours, we've had over 1,000 rockets have fallen on Israel. Sadly, six people have lost their lives. Nadine Awad, who was 16, and Khalil Awad were both residents of Damshat, an unrecognized Arab village near Lod, were killed when a rocket fell in front of their home. A soldier named Amir Khabib was hit with an anti-tank missile this morning. He was 21 years old. There's been three other victims whose names haven't been released yet. Today, the roads were very quiet in Tel Aviv. Jerusalem people are out a bit more, but we're expecting more rockets probably in the next hour or two. So it's a very tense environment. And in Gaza, there's been 53 people have killed. Many of them have been Hamas members, but who were part of a terrorist organization. We don't know yet how many civilians are among that 53, but Israel has said that six senior Hamas commanders were killed today, and so probably there will be retaliation for that, I assume, with many rocket barrages this evening. So, yeah, a very tense time for everyone involved.
Itai, just apologies for that. We are playing the sirens as they sound in real time here in South Africa. Mm-hmm. We will stop doing it when we talk to Israelis. We obviously realize mm-hmm. that you're unable to distinguish whether it's happening outside your front door or here. So out of respect for your safety and your we will stop that with immediate effect. Apologies for the earlier one that was here, not with you. Itai, okay. So the fissures in Israeli society seem to be coming to the fore. I think many of us have been lulled into a false sense of complacency, having read recently all sorts of varying opinion polls showing how Israeli Arabs were happy to be Israelis, etc., etc. What is happening in Lod? What is happening in Akko? Why this? Explain it to us and unpack it for us.
Yeah, so in many of the mixed cities in Lod, in Akko, in Ramle, in Yaffa, there have been, especially in Lod, a burning of a synagogue. There's photos of a man carrying a Torah scroll out, which, you know, I'm sure evokes many painful memories. There's also been Lehava gangs, which is a Jewish extremist group, trying to throw rocks and beat up Arabs. There was a Muslim cemetery set on fire in Ramla. But a lot of the violence has come from Arabs towards Jews who have really, again, used this escalation as a way to vent what they perceive as, I guess, Israeli inequality in terms of investment in Arab areas and all sorts of issues that the Ram and Joint List Party have been talking about. Although it's interesting to note that Mansour Abbas from the Ram Party has come out very strongly in condemning this violence, as have several Arab and Jewish mayors in all
That's
of these mixed cities, saying that this is not the way to behave or to achieve social change. And I think it's also important to note that the overwhelming majority of Arabs in Israel are not participating in this violence. I've seen images of Arabs actually saving Jews in some cases from this violence, and also even, you know, Arabs in hospitals working with Jews, holding signs, treating people who are wounded by the rockets. So whilst this violence is very concerning, I think it's important not to stereotype the entire Arab society, which is over 2 million people, as being against Jews. But I think a lot of hard work that has been put into many coexistence projects is falling apart at the moment because of these tensions that really, as I mentioned, have been simmering for a long time after the events of Jerusalem over the past month.
I hear you loud and clear, and kind of what I'm beginning to understand, it is definitely the fringes on both extremes who seem to be dictating current events right now.
Yeah, certain people, I guess, have interest in making volatile situations worse. It's definitely not the majority of people want. I don't even think it's what the majority of people want in Gaza. I think they're also frightened, and they also don't have bomb shelters in Gaza. I think life is very difficult, for them there. And, I think good people around the world should be praying for peace and to be praying for a de-escalation. Hamas needs to stop firing rockets. Every rocket is a war crime. There's no justification for firing rockets into civilian populations. And there needs to be ultimately a political solution here because, you know, Israel's had several rounds of wars with Gaza over the last 25 years or so, and they often end with a ceasefire, you know, until the next one, in the absence of a political solution. And I think what we can see here is the absence of peace. You know, we've had four elections in this country, and the last election, I don't think Gaza was mentioned once. You know, everyone just thought, that's quiet, so we don't need to talk about it. But I think this is a reminder that in a very ugly and distressing way, how with the absence of a political solution is going to cause a lot of pain to a lot of people.
Yeah, and if one looks at your most recent Israeli election, number 5, quite fascinating to see the extent to which peace was four. I'm expecting number 5. quite incredible the extent to which peace was just not on the table as an election issue. And I'm wondering to what extent that this pent up frustration, isn't exactly a manifestation, or to a certain extent, by no means only, but playing a part in the current scenario.
Yeah, definitely. Look, the people in Gaza have been under a blockade that Israel placed ever since Hamas was elected, and the purpose of that blockade was to stop weapons getting into Gaza. So whilst basic food and medicine and those sorts of things go in, there's a lot of goods that don't go in, and also prevents people from Gaza from exporting a lot of their goods, which makes Gaza have very high unemployment, and they often have electricity shortages and all of these sorts of things. And I think there's a sense of they want Israel and the world to take their issue seriously, and people pay more attention when there's rockets. And I also think in regards to our election cycle, you know, we don't have a government at the moment. We've got a transition government, and the opposition looks like it might be successful in anointing Naftali Bennett as the prime minister. There were talks that they were only days away from wrapping up the negotiations when this whole thing started, which I'm sure will sidetrack it. But one of the key parts of that new coalition will involve the Ram Party, which is part of the Islamic movement, being part of either coalition, and that's something that if Israel's at a war with Gaza, that would be a very hard party to include for a lot of the Jewish public. So I think there's a real tension here, in a way that there's two wars happening. There's one between Israel and Hamas, and there's another one, an internal civil war, between, as you mentioned, extremist Jews and extremist Arabs that are fueling these tensions, and groups that are trying to, you know, remove Palestinians from their homes, whether it be in East Jerusalem, in Sheikh Jarrah that we spoke about, or in other places where there's a sense of trying to make an Arab neighborhood more Jewish and play these sort of demographic games, which are which are very dangerous. And I'm a firm believer that just because historic injustices were done in the past to various people, you know, trying to amend those historic injustices by doing a historic injustice today, and I'm sure South Africans know exactly what I'm talking about, is not the path.
Itai Flesha, thank you so very much for your input this afternoon. Truly valuable, important insights. And just from us to you, keep safe to you and your family. And gosh, I hope things de-escalate and things return to normal.
Thank you. Appreciate your kind words. Stay safe. Okay. Bye.